Well, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want more of Him? Amen. More of who He is. He lives in us, doesn't He? The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Glory. Hallelujah. We can have all of Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. We can have all of Him. More of Him and all of Him. Amen. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. He is good. Thank You, Father, that You are good. That You are faithful. That You're not a withholder, that You're a giver. That You're a lover, that You're a Father that cares. Oh Lord, there are people in the world that got You mixed up with the enemy, Father. Lord, we know in whom we believed. We're persuaded, Father, that You are able. That You are able, Father. That You are willing, Father. That You desire to bless Your children, Father. To bless the people of the world, even, Father. Oh, Father, that You are interested in mankind. Oh, thank You, Father, that You so love the world that You gave Your only Son, Jesus, that all men can know You. Thank You, Father. Lord, You didn't come that we'd be condemned and destroyed, but You came that we could have life, and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Father, we're thankful. We're grateful, Father. Thank You that You don't... Father, that You don't hate us. You love us. We've got a Father that loves us. Hallelujah. He wants the best for us. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, He is good. Amen. Hallelujah. We know that much. God is good and He is faithful. He's a good Father and He loves us so much. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Kringrabasumble, blaya kumbe, klabu be zingre kumbayandungunge anona, avere vriakui, yaizungu, la zenglayo kumbayandungle kokes ia taya chungloko, langle kumbe zukataya. For I long, says the Lord, to receive unto Myself all those that are in need of Me. For I hunger to pour out My goodness and My glory unto man. So come unto Me and continue to press and continue to stand. And know for a surety that I will cause you to possess the land that I have given you. For have I not said that I am in you and I am with you and I am for you? So stand in the truths that I have given unto you, that as you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. For truly I desire to pour out My power in this hour. And I need men and women who will continue to press in and continue to hold fast to those promises that I've given unto you, that all things are possible. That there's nothing that I won't do, for I am the God of all glory. And I desire to reap a harvest in these last days. So stand fast, says the Lord, and hold on, for I'm coming. I'm coming in power. I'm coming in glory. I'm coming to manifest myself in you and through you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, that was good. Hallelujah. I always like it when he encourages me. Hallelujah. Amen. Every once in a while, he'll say something else. Pretty often, you know, when we pray in the Spirit, sometimes it's not a voice we hear. Amen. It's a knowing down on the inside that there's change that has to take place. Hallelujah. And that's just as much his voice as anything else that we say. Because the voice of God comes and we have that nature on the inside that can now be trusted if you've been born again. That nature speaks to you. Your spirit can be trusted. You can trust your conscience. See, if you're not born again, you can't trust your conscience because it'll just lie to you. Didn't bother you to do anything. So, oh, well, I just stole that. No big deal. It's only 50,000, you know. You know, small amount, you know. Or somebody, you know, when you're at work. Remember, Gary, you're not, you know, you're a pilfer. That means you take a little bit at a time, you know. Take a few ink pens home. Keep your supply up, you know. Take a few paper clips. But if you're born again, your conscience will bother you. So that's stealing from the company. You know, you don't take an extra long lunch and not take it off your time, you know. You take your hour or however long you've been given, right? And you come back on time. Because you're going to give your employer what you promised. Even if he's not fair, the Bible says if you remain faithful, he's going to take care of you. Amen. We still keep our word, even if he's mean and ornery and yells at you. Hallelujah. We be faithful. We still remain faithful to what God said. We still show up on time and we still do our job. See, well, when did you learn that, brother? A long time ago when I got a job, my boss liked to yell at me. Hallelujah. And he wasn't kind about it. And the Lord said, well, that we're to be faithful even when those that rule over us are evil. We're to still love him. We're to still do the right thing. Even if somebody else doesn't do the right thing, you do the right thing. Why? Because I'm not there for them. Whatever we do in word or deed, we do unto the Lord, right? We're there to give him glory and give him honor. See? And when we do that also, you know, people don't say they respect you, but you know, after a while, you gain respect. Not necessarily, they may never respect you, per se, but you gain the respect that you are faithful to God. And you gain opportunity to possibly speak into their life. Because they'll see your life. They'll say, yeah, he's an honest man. He's an honest person. He pays all of his taxes. He doesn't hide anything. Hallelujah. He's not afraid. See, and the Bible says, you know, there are those that are in authority over us. And we should obey them. You know, unless it just comes against preaching the gospel. We're to obey those in authority. Amen. Hallelujah. And submit to them. I don't know why I'm on that, but it's good anyway. Hallelujah. We're to do what authority has said. Because God said they're ordained of God. You know, you want to be free from the one in authority? Do what's right. Have you ever done anything wrong, you know? Then you're in fear. I remember my oldest brother was on the run for a while from the law. He had done something and I think it's about 3 or 4 years. I've been praying for him for a while. And he would call and, you know, to see what's going on and say, well, how you doing? Oh, okay, you know, what you up to? I can't tell you. Where you at? I can't tell you. Why? Well, because every time you turn around, you know, they're looking for Johnny Law, you know, is coming after him. The police or the FBI or somebody's trying to find them. You know, when you're on the run, then there's fear when we're not in obedience to those in authority, amen? Especially the most important authority, God. We want to obey him. But when we can't even obey those that are over us that we can see, how are we going to obey God? See? Anybody ever done that? You know, you run the red light, you know, and you get into that, you know, uh-oh, you know. But, you know, you didn't mean to. And you're praying for mercy, right? Amen. And God gives mercy. He's not talking about just, you know, every little thing being perfect. It's a spirit, you know. There's a thing behind it. The spirit of the law. That's what God gives us, you know. He gives us his word, you know, and there's the law of God, but there's the spirit of the law, which in other words, these are the laws of God, and we obey them out of a heart of obedience and love, not because we have to. You know, I think even in the natural law, when you think about it, when people have the right attitude. I remember one time I got pulled over for running a red light. Of course, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I was doing a paper route, and I'd reach back to push these papers down, and I run through this red light, and right to my right, I see two police cars. I didn't even wait for them to put the lights on. I just pulled over, you know, and I was trying to be funny, which when I try to be funny, I'm really not. So, he said, "Well, you ran that light." I said, "Well, it was pink." "Pink? What are you talking? I mean, red. You know, red. You know." But I was at peace, and he gave me a warning. Praise the Lord. It was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was blessed. But the point is that we're not to just purposely disobey laws that don't go against what God's word said. Now, if they tell you you can't preach the gospel, that's different. We see that in the Word of God. We're to preach the gospel. In season and out, when it's legal or illegal, we preach the gospel because it's the good news. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes we have to suffer for that, but that's the way it is. Hallelujah. In places of the world that do suffer for it, thank God we're free. Amen? Glory to God. What's the matter with us? Let's go. Hallelujah. Anyway, I don't know why I got on that tonight, but I did. So, but he's in us. He's with us. He's for us. That's what God was saying. He's with us. He's ready to manifest himself. Amen? He's ready to do the work. Turn with me, if you will, tonight. I want to look again tonight at Mark 11. I don't think I ever turned to the scripture. I've been talking about it last couple of times I ministered. And I don't think we ever did read it. Most of you know it. If what I say tonight, you say, "Well, I already know that." Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad we know things because we have to know them. But sometimes things that we know have to be enforced. And it is good for us to look again and to see what the Word of God says so that we have ammunition against the enemy. How many know when Jesus was in the wilderness, he didn't just say, "Devil, go away." He said, "No, it is written." Didn't he? He said, "It is written." And when you and I can say, "It is written," we have ammunition to destroy all the attacks of the enemy. How many know he comes to try your ground? Anybody ever have him do that? "He's tried my ground. I preached about healing. He tried my ground. Took me a whole 24 hours to get well." Glory to God. Because I took the word of God, though. I said, "Lord, I know what to do." "What do you do?" "Well, sometimes you lay on your bed and you say, 'Father, I thank you. I just worship you that you're faithful. You're the healer. I know that your healing power is flowing in me because I've asked of you, Lord. I know it's your will based upon what you said." You said from the Old Testament to the New, we looked at what? The brazen serpent which was put upon the pole. Hallelujah. Remember when Moses held the serpent up? They had gotten into rebellion. They got into sin. You know, and sometimes we get into things we shouldn't. Maybe we got out of love somewhere in our life. You know, God wants us to walk in that love. That's the law that we have in the new covenant. Amen. But they'd gotten rebellion against Moses. And even some of them were saying, "Who put you in charge, Moses?" Now see, I said we got to obey authority. God put Moses in charge. "Who put you in charge, Moses?" God. God put me in charge. They didn't like who was in charge. Sometimes we don't like who's in charge. And maybe it's not somebody that you like that you're under. But God sets certain people in authority. And sometimes we're under somebody that we may not always agree with everything they do. That's where submission comes in. You see, a lot of people, they say, well, I know how to submit. Submission has never been a problem to me. I know they don't know anything about it at all. They don't know a thing about it. Well, it's just never been a problem. It's just easy for me. Well, it's not easy. Because submission doesn't come in until you disagree. Well, I don't like the way they're doing things here at this job. I got a better way. I know how to do it better. Well, maybe you do. But they're asking you to do it this way. And there's nothing, as long as it's not sin and they're not asking you to lie and you're getting the job done, then you do it that way. I mean, we have I work at the day center, and there's some rules I think are ridiculous, but my job is to help enforce the rules. And if people obey the rules, they can stay and they can enjoy the benefits of the day center. Well, what are the benefits? Well, they can see a case manager and hopefully get a home and get something to eat, take a shower, lay down on a mat and sleep, you know. I know those don't sound great, but if you're homeless, it's pretty good. I mean, we got a great nation, folks. We got a lot of problems, I know that. And we need to pray. But we got the greatest land in the world. You don't see people running for the border south, do you? They're running for the border north, aren't they? They're coming here. Why are they trying to get here? They're still trying to come here. You know? Because we're free. But freedom has responsibilities. You know, there's still responsibility in freedom. You know, God gives us freedom, but see, some people say, well, I'm free. I can do whatever I want. They're really not free. They're actually bound. But they don't know they're bound because they're deceived into thinking they're free. I can do whatever I want. God's with me. He'll forgive me. That may be true. He will, to a degree. That's freedom, but real freedom is when you submit to God's plan. When you just submit to what He desires. That's true freedom. That's when the real freedom comes in. See, I've been set free so that I can submit to my Father God. I'm free to give myself to Him. I'm free so that I can know Him. I'm free to love Him. I'm free to obey Him. I'm not bound by sin. It doesn't control me anymore. But my freedom doesn't let me do whatever I want. It lets me, I am free to know Him. It's not a freedom to just sin and do, you know, oh, I just feel like doing this and doing that. And even in good things sometimes, it's not okay just to do whatever we want. The Bible says we're bought with a price. We belong to somebody. Hallelujah. It's good anyway. And it's a freedom. Hallelujah. In Christ, we are free. But in that freedom, we're not to use that freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Let's go to Galatians 5 real quick. Galatians chapter 5. I didn't know where we were going there tonight. That's okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we were talking about this freedom. It says, stand there. You see, verse 5 says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, you know, Christ profits you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whoever you are. Whoever of you, are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord Jesus that that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he may be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross eased. He's talking here about circumcision, uncircumcision. He said, if I'm circumcised, then I got to keep the whole law, every little jot and tittle of that law. But Christ has set us free. Don't let that freedom put you back into a bondage. I mean, anybody ever seen anybody that's free? How many know there's some people that are free in America, yet they're in bondage? You know, you're free. Well, hey, I can do what I want. You know, yeah, you can. You can go, you know, I can smoke marijuana, or I can do drugs, or I can, you know, go with all kinds of women if I want to, or men. There's children here, so hallelujah. You know, they think they can do whatever I want. And people can. They're free. But freedom has a responsibility. I don't know why I'm all on that, Lord. This is good. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. But freedom has that responsibility. And we're not to let our freedom. We're to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, Paul's talking here not to go back under the law. He said, don't get back under the law where you're carrying all this law. Jesus set you free. He is the freedom that he gave us free. Now, freedom. In other words, we don't have all the dietary laws. We don't have all the, you know, we don't sacrifice sheep anymore. He is that sacrifice once for all, right? We're not bound to keep all the Sabbath days and all the rituals and all of those things, because there's freedom in Christ. He set us free from that law, but he also set us free from sin, didn't he? That nature was changed. We're no longer bound to a sin nature. We're no longer in that bondage. So don't let your freedom take you back into a bondage that you had before you were born again. Hallelujah. Because we're submitted to him. When we submit to Christ Jesus, we submit to his way of doing things. What did Jesus say? He said, if you're my disciple, we're to take up our cross and follow him. So there must be a way that we can purposely take up our cross and follow him. How are we going to take up that cross daily on a regular basis? He said, if we don't hate our family, our own lives even, in comparison to that love for him, how can we? We cannot. He said, we cannot be his disciple. He didn't say, well, you could possibly. No, but see, as you become his disciples, then your love, the true love for your family and for your fellow man begins to come forward because of who you are in Christ. And the love of Christ begins to build. And then there's a love that's not perverted. You see, man has a certain amount of love for people, but it's a perverted love. It's not a pure love. But the love of God is the pure love that comes forth and begins to change from that nature from within. It changes us. We're changed to be like him. As we submit to him, then his nature comes forward. That's the cross that we bear, is dying to the old things, the things that are not of him, and living to the things that are of him. See, we lay aside every weight, every sin that would so easily beset. That means the little things of life, things we maybe there's things you still want to do. But God's saying, that's not you. That's not the path I've chosen for you. If you're going to do that, you're not going to be on my path. See, we're getting laser focused this year. A laser focus into knowing him and who he is and his plan and his purpose. So, well, you could, you know, brother, I mean, I've had people tell me, a lot of people, you have too, I'm sure. If you follow these steps and follow this plan, you can make a lot of money. And of course, they always tell you, you know, just a few hours a day, you know, just a couple hours a day. It'll work, you know, that's all you need. Just a few hours a day. You know, and you'll be rich in no time. I mean, that's kind of the way it's presented. They don't say that. Now, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. That's a hint. You know, it's get-rich-quick scheme, you know. You know, and I'm not saying they don't work. They do if people work them. But a lot of times it takes a lot more work than you realize. And, of course, they want you to get all of your friends involved, you know. Your brother and your sister and your uncle and your aunt. And don't forget your parents. Well, you can just add them in. I know they're old and they can't do anything, but just put them in, you know, and they'll start getting a check too, you know, as you sell our product. Basically, they're setting you up to be a salesperson. So if you want to be a salesman, that's fine. You know? But most of the time that I've found, the people that don't work it very much don't make much money. Well, I worked it just like they said. I did it 3 hours a day, every day, and I called these people and I tried to get them in, and have you ever gotten one of those? Nothing against it. I'm not preaching against it. I'm just saying, you know, and I mean, it's wonderful. This is a great nation, you know, but maybe that's not God's plan for you. I don't know why I'm talking about all this, but it's good because he said we have freedom, but don't let that freedom put us back into a bondage. You know, there's bondages that the world can bring. And the things that we're talking about, I mean, it's good intentions. We may have good intentions. I've had good intentions in the past, and it cost me a lot of money. Yeah, and you're laughing, but it wasn't funny. You know, I laugh about it now, but at the time, it was really serious. To me, it was a lot of money. I mean, it wasn't, I shouldn't say it was a lot of money, but to me, it was a lot of money at the time. So I'll just say that because a lot of money is relative, you know. If you got billions and you lose a million, what's that? Nothing, right? That's like a few pennies, you know, or a few dollars. But, but if all you've got is $1,000 and you lose $5,000, that's serious, you know. Your outgo exceeded your income, and you've got an outcome. Some of you look like you've been there before. Hallelujah. But we're talking about submitting to the plan of God, see? When we submit to the plan of God, there's a freedom that comes that sets us free. First, on the inside, for us, a freedom and a peace and a joy that comes as we fellowship with Him and we find that plan. Well, I don't know that plan. You can find out that plan. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we've been taught many times over and over, the more we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're praying out the very mind of the Father, the very plan of God for our individual life. So, well, what is it? Well, if you don't know it, we've got to keep praying. Because it will be revealed to you. It will begin to come to pass. I know in my life, some things, when I first started praying in tongues, I'm going, God, you know, what are you doing? You know, He said, and the Lord said to me, He said, well, right now, I'm leading you more unconsciously than I am consciously. Oh, okay. And He still leads me unconsciously at times, but at that particular time, I just started praying in tongues. I'm trying to hear God. And I remember praying one time, and I was in my car and driving, and I had this old car, and, you know, and the window wouldn't roll up. And it was cold. It's wintertime. So I taped this plastic on the window. I thought, that'll hold. That's good. You know, that, and it worked fine. But this particular morning, I'm driving the car, and the plastic starts flapping, you know. You know, it's flapping in the wind, and so it's bothering you, you know, and it's flapping you in the face sometimes. Oh, man. So I'm holding it with one hand, and I'm driving along, you know, and I said, man. You know, and I hear this voice. It says, if you keep following that car too close, you're going to run right into the back end of it. I said, devil, you're a liar. I bind you in the name of Jesus, because I heard you could bind the devil, you know, so you bind him, you cast him out, you know, that's not a good thought, so, you know, So I keep following this car, and sure enough, we turn the corner, and I guess I kept following too close because hit him right in the back. I said, "Oh, Lord, that was you. You know, that was God trying to speak to me, you know." And I've realized this is God. Now I'm in trouble, you know, because I didn't listen. You know, he was trying to warn me. Why would the devil warn me not to hit somebody now that I think of it, you know? But I didn't know God that well. But anyway, I don't know why I got onto that, but it turned out all right. You know, everything turned okay. And I even went over and prayed for the lady, and, you know, she was okay. And everything worked out. Of course, I don't know why I was so flustered. I backed the car up and moved it. You know, at that time, you weren't supposed to move your vehicle, you know. So I moved it off the road because I'm thinking, I might get run over, you know. I said, "Oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. You know, I'm telling the police officer, you know." Well, because she was at a light, and the guy's asking me, the police officer asked me, "Was the light red?" I said, "No, the light was green." He said, "I'm going to ask you again." He's giving me opportunity, see. "Was the light red?" I said, "No, the light was green." You know, when I hit the lady. In other words, maybe, you know, it was a red light and there was a, you know, they stopped suddenly and he wouldn't have to put me down to quite as much as at blame. But I was fully at blame. Because anytime you run into the back of them, you know, you're to fault. Of course, if I'd said the light was red, maybe it made more sense. But but it really was green. So I didn't know, you know, at the time. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, we don't want to lie, right? Even when we're in trouble. We don't. Even when you're in trouble, you don't want to lie. Now, I mean, I'm not talking about preaching the gospel. Now, you know, if you're preaching the gospel and God's telling you to go somewhere and you're smuggling something in, you know, that's a little different, brother, okay? You're getting the word of God out, you know, and you're trying to take something in that they don't want, that they need. They don't know they need it. If they knew they need it, they would got it. Hallelujah. But I'm talking about when you're in real trouble. I'm trying to get these books to my friends. I really am. And that's true. So, hallelujah. But sometimes when we get in trouble, the enemy wants to tempt us, doesn't he? That's what the children do, don't they? You know, the child. But as we grow up, we realize it's better not to lie. At least we're supposed to. Now, don't ask me if I've ever told a lie. I'm sure I have. I used to lie a lot. Do you know why I lied? Because I was in so much fear. I would try to, you know, I was trying to gain approval of man, really, and approval of God, which I already had. I remember one job I had, and I'm going to tell it. It's okay. I was there, and I would water the greenhouse. That was my job. I was as a maintenance man, or we call it maintenance, or groundskeepers, you know. So I'm on the crew, and my boss had asked me to water the greenhouse. And because of so much fear of mine, he says, "Well, did you water that greenhouse?" "Oh, yeah, I got it." And I'd run over and go water that greenhouse, you know. But why did I tell him that? There was no need for it. I could have just said, "No, I haven't done it yet." But there was such a fear of authority. I had such a fear of authority in me that I would, because I thought there was going to be some kind of punishment that I didn't want to, that I didn't think I could endure. But there's somebody that can help you overcome that. His name is Jesus and the great Holy Spirit. You know, the more I can pray in tongues, God began to deal with me about that fear. He began to talk to me. He said that, and I knew I'd lied. I couldn't deny it. I said, "Lord, forgive me," you know, and He forgives you, I know. You know, and I didn't want to do it. But He had already set me free from it. I was born again. I didn't have to do it. But I did it because I thought it was necessary to avoid a punishment of some sort. I mean, what would you say? I mean, think about it. Have you watered the greenhouse yet, brother? Oh, okay. Well, you need to get it done. Okay. You know, I mean, what are the consequences? You know, there wasn't even any real reason for that. But I felt so poorly toward myself. See, I'm thinking, oh, he's going to think wrong of me and he's not going to approve me. And so therefore I have to lie so that I can gain his approval, and I'll go run and do it real quick, and he'll never know, and he'll think I'm good. Now, I know that sounds crazy. I mean, that's not something that you think about in your mind. It's just something that comes from a subconscious place where the enemy has planted a stronghold on the inside of you that you need to get out. Strongholds are the systems of thoughts empowered by an emotion. The emotion and the thought of, oh, and the fear of punishment or the fear of not being accepted. I just couldn't handle it. In my own flesh. But God continued to deal with me. So when he kept dealing with me about it, I have to go tell him, boss, I lied. No, that's not fun either. It's very humbling, but I told my boss, I said, I lied about that. I apologize. I won't do it again. It's not going to happen again. You know, you do that a couple of times, it doesn't happen very often. You know? Because you're not going to let yourself fall to that kind of bondage again. He's beginning to deal with me. The Holy Spirit's dealing with me. I've been praying in tongues. He's building me up. He's saying, hey, that fear has to go. It can't stay there. I didn't realize what it was at first. But as I continue to pray, the Lord began to show me, hey, that's a fear in there. That's a fear of authority. That's a fear of failure. That's a fear of not being accepted. That's a fear that the enemy placed in there. It had been trying to rule my life for a while. I didn't even realize it. So, didn't you love God? Yes, I loved God. I loved him with all my heart. I walked in liberty. I'm free. He saved me, filled me with the Holy Ghost. I'm praying in other tongues. And then, oh my God, I got this fear. You see, the Holy Spirit's a revealer. He comes to bring the truth so that you could be set free. The real truth about who we are. Wow. I didn't know I was going to be talking about all this. But anyway, but he comes to bring that real truth about who we really are, you know? What the soul and the flesh left over when you was born again. See, you're not born again full grown, but you are born again and you have been set free. It's kind of like, hey, you know, a baby's got all the muscles you have, right? Well, how come he can't lift anything? He can't even walk. His muscles have not fully developed. And so as we continue to spend that time with the Father and grow and mature, we begin to develop. You know, you don't expect a baby to do everything perfectly immediately. But as we mature and as we grow, and even young children make mistakes, and we overlook a lot of things until they continue to mature. But when they're, you know, when a child's 18 or 15, we say, okay, now you can drive a car. You know, when he's 5, we don't say, here's the keys to the car. You know, we let him sit on our lap and maybe hold the steering wheel a little, you know, but we don't say, here's the keys. You know, we're watching it. We're being careful. But as we mature and as we grow, God expects more of us. And he was expecting me to grow out of that, to mature and to say, I love you. I got a Father that loves me. And his love began to come and his freedom. And I realized, oh, I don't have to do anything. I may never get the approval of a man. But I have the approval of my Father. I am accepted in the blood. See, Ephesians 1. Let's go there for a minute. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Well, I like verse 5, so let me back up just a minute. Let's start with verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. I always thought that's awesome. He's adopted us by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He wanted children. He wanted us. He wanted you, you see. He said, to himself, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted. He already accepted me. See, my Father had accepted me. God had accepted me. But I had not yet fully understood and received that acceptance. And so I was trying to get it in the flesh. The flesh was trying to get what God had already given me. And sometimes in our flesh, we try to get things that God's already given us. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's given us acceptance. Now, that acceptance didn't have to be earned. I couldn't earn it. It was something that he had already bestowed upon me. It's just like all of, you know, a father or mother accepts their child. That's the way, you know, they accept them. They love them. They may not be perfect, but they accept them. But see, if that child doesn't know they're accepted, if that child doesn't feel like they're accepted, or the enemy, see, he lies. I believe he works on both sides. See, he lies to us. And he tells us we're not accepted. Then he tells us, oh, that person is doing that to you. See, there's a lot of people that are blaming other people for their problem. Amen. Look what my mom, and it's, you know what the problem is? You know, I had a particular person in my family, and they went to a counselor. He was not a saved counselor by any means. But he came to the conclusion, your mother and father are your problem. See, that's the problem. The way they disciplined you was a problem. What they did to you, what they said to you, or what anybody may have said to you. Maybe it was a teacher or coach, you know, that said something to you that hurt your feelings. And you took it serious. I mean, it sounds like something so small, but yet the enemy can make something so large of it. And put a stronghold within you that can take you out. Where he can try to destroy you. Even though you may love God, he causes you to be ineffective. And he challenges you. You're not good enough. You're full of fear. See, you need to be accepted. You need their acceptance. No, I need his acceptance. When I begin to receive his acceptance, I come to the realization I may never receive a man's acceptance. I no longer need a man's acceptance. I need God's acceptance. He has received me. He has birthed me. He is my Father and he accepts me. See, it's an acceptance that he gives. It's a freedom that he brought. It's a liberty from bondage that I no longer have to walk in fear. I no longer have to walk after the way of the flesh. I no longer have to try to receive. Oh, please tell me I did a good job. I know I did a good job. If I know I did a good job and I'm working under the Lord, whether they think I did a good job or not shouldn't matter to me because I know I've done a good job. Most people know when you're working hard, right? You know, and if you know your job, you know you're doing a good job. You know, and I remember one boss I got and the Lord spoke to me, and this is what helped me also in learning about other things in my life. But people would even tell me, well, you don't have to put up with that. Yes, I do. Because God sent me there, and he told me to stay. And he even spoke to me. He said, you're going to learn some things from this guy, you know, that you hadn't learned before. And see, he was maybe 10 years older than I was at the time, you know. And so, you know, they put him in. But see, they put him in as the boss. And what bothered me was not that he was the boss. What bothered me, they didn't even consider putting me in as the boss. They didn't even think about it, you know. I mean, I've been there longer than him, you know. At least, you know, 6 months longer, you know. Big, you know. But how many know sometimes just a few years can make a difference in your maturity and ability, even in the natural, right? Amen. Hallelujah, it's true. Because there's some things you just learn by accident. Hallelujah. Over time. But anyway, he was placed in authority. And I got excited because the Lord said, well, you're going to learn a lot of things from him. I thought, well, maybe I'll learn how to do more in my job here, you know, and get better. And, you know, maybe I'll get a better job or something, you know. And that had nothing whatsoever what the Lord wanted to teach me. Nothing, you know. And he was the boss that wasn't real kind to me. I wouldn't say unkind. I think he liked me okay, but not in my opinion, see. I didn't see it. And so he would take me and he decided him and this other guy were going to take care of around the house, about 5 acres around the house. There's 18 acres on this estate. It's a beautiful estate, Nichols Hills in Oklahoma City. Largest estate there, I think. Backed right up to the golf course, you know, beautiful area. And so he's going to take up manicured place around the house. There's a pool and it's a little more manicured. And so they'll take care of all that. And she had some what they call bent grass, which is like a golf green, you know, grass. And there's probably an acre of that almost. And then in the front, they had some other real nice zoysia grass and things they cut. And so him and this other guy are going to take care of around the house. And I'm going to take care of the acreage, which is 14 acres by myself. You know, so I get to spray the trees, and which I loved, and cut the grass, which was great because I did it 3 times a week. They wanted me to cut it 3 times a week, and took about 6 hours with the gang mower, you know, behind the tractor. So I'm driving the tractor, so I had 6 hours at least 3 times a week to pray in the Holy Ghost and mow this grass. And sometimes I'd be crying because I wanted that acceptance, you know. And God's dealing with me and he's helping me, but he was purging and bringing some things about. But what ended up happening is he's, you know, acting certain ways toward me that I didn't like and I had experienced in the past from other people in my life. And the Lord said, you need to walk through this. But he said, I want you to learn how to walk through this with me. He said, every time he's doing these things, I want you to start praying for him. And I want you to start listening to me, and I'm going to show you how to walk through it the right way. I said, okay. Because things like, okay, go get the light bulb for, I got to change some lights around the house. Okay, I'm in charge of the acreage out here. He wants me to basically take care of that. It's 14 acres. And then many times he would come out to the acreage and come get me to help him with something around the house. And then he would take me out in the cart. He said, well, how come this isn't done? How come you didn't cut that down? Why didn't you do that? And I just spent 4 hours up around the house. You know? And so I'm thinking, well, why don't you know why I didn't do that? You know? But, and so I was feeling like I'm not doing real good. And so, and this is where the Lord really brought it to a head and caused me to realize that I may never gain his acceptance. And the freedom that came to me at that point, where I said, okay, I know I'm doing a good job. I'm going to work as unto the Lord. I'm going to please my Father because he's already pleased with me. And I'm going to allow his pleasure to complete me and receive the acceptance that he has given me. And I'm not going to worry about what man would say. And so when there was a problem, I said, well, you called me up around the house, you know. So finally, I'm free on the inside, see. I was free on the inside. I gained a freedom that I didn't know was even possible. You said, were you free before? I probably would have told you, oh, yeah, I'm free, you know. But I was still bound. And I was being controlled by a fear that I didn't realize was there until the Holy Spirit continued, you know, brought it up regularly and walked me through that. And he asked me, he said, I want you to pray for him. I hadn't forgotten. You know, he says, go get that light bulb. And it would take a minute. And it always never be fast enough. It wasn't good, you know, it just wasn't good enough for him. Nothing you did was good enough for this particular person. Just not good enough, you know. What's the matter with you? How come you didn't get faster? Blah, 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 blah. You know, so I just didn't say anything. I'm praying for him. You know, and the Lord would give me certain instructions. One time we were fixing the mower, and I know he's putting the blades on backwards. He's doing it wrong. Lord, don't say anything. Just do whatever he tells you. Okay. So I'm handing the wrench. He tells me, hand that. You know, I'm helping him out, and we're trying to do it, and he's doing all this work, you know. I could tell he's getting all frustrated. Lord said, ask him if he wants to take a break. Okay, we'll take a break. You know, hey, you want to take a break? It's almost break time. Yeah, okay, we'll take a break. Whew. You know, because I know what's coming. See, if he keeps working on that, he'll explode. And, you know, about once a month, we knew he would explode anyway, you know, whether he wanted to or not. I remember one time somebody had left one shovel outside the garage, and he went in and he threw all the tools off the rack, you know, onto the floor. How come you guys left that shovel out there? What's the matter with you? I mean, he's so upset, he just grabs all the tools off the shelf, you know, and just throws them out in the middle of the garage. And then we had to put them back up, you know, so later. But, and he was, I'm not saying he wasn't a decent person. I mean, he was a pretty nice guy. But what the Lord began to show me as I prayed for him, he said, well, how do you know what he's been through? I said, well, I really don't. You know, and sometimes people have been through abusive situations, been through divorce, don't know. You know, maybe they kind of know God or heard of God. But he wants you to be available to be a voice in their life. And I was able to be somewhat of a voice in his life and try to get things to change, but I would pray for him. And he had the job of going inside the house to talk to Mrs. Jones, who made, you know, she just wanted to talk over the decisions and the money. Because people, even if you got a lot of money, how many know, even if you got a lot of money, you know, if it's taken a little at a time, it can all be disappeared. You know, and Miss Jones, she grew up during the Depression time, and she knew things could disappear. And so she just wanted accountability. And so he would go in, and I'd ask God to give him favor. Lord, we need favor. We've got to get this project done. We're going to plant these trees out here. And usually we'd go in, and she'd say, well, let's do half that. You know, see if you can cut the price in half, you know. It was always a little less, you know, so. You know, but he would go in and God would give him favor and I'd pray. And one day he went into the house and God said, don't pray for him. I said, what? He said, don't pray for him. I didn't pray for him. And he came out and he was discouraged. And from that day on, she did not fire him, but she acted like he didn't exist. Rich people have a saying, you know, you can tell them to buzz off without telling them, you know. I can't say that other word, but, you know, they can say, hey, you know. And so he finally, I guess that lasted a couple of weeks maybe, and he finally left the job. And the Lord, you know, had asked my wife and I to, she had, you know. After that, we were able to live on the estate and, I wasn't in charge, but I was able to live there rent free for about 9 months. You know, 9 or 10 months we lived there, and she just asked us to come and stay there in the servants' quarters, which weren't large, but they were nice. But anyway, I'm saying all that because what the Lord wants to do is I'm not saying he had to do it that way. He wanted to use the Word of God, and he did use the Word of God. But he also used some situation that sometimes we have to walk through in order for us to be made free so that we can see the answer. I couldn't see it in myself. But God used other people and other situations and similar situations which had caused pain in my life to bring freedom into my life. Because he says, now I'm going to walk through it with you. I'm going to show you the right way and the way it could have been done. In the first place, you know, that I could have possibly had, you know, a better way, you know. His word will never fail. See, his word is truth. But that truth has to become real on the inside of us. And sometimes, at least for my life, I had to walk through that. Because apparently he wasn't able to get that across to me yet. Okay? That truth was there. Hey, in Christ, I'm accepted. But it had to become a reality on the inside of me. And the more I thought about it, the more I saw it, the more I realized, hey, I can't accept, you know, this man's not going to accept me ever. It's never going to be good enough for him. Never. It just won't. And that's okay. That's the flesh. You know, that's the flesh. That's the nature of the flesh. And to him, you know, he wasn't that way. He didn't even realize he's that way. So, well, how do you know that? Because I finally realized that, you know. And he thought my problem was something else. You know, after I got free, see, then people get mad at you because they can't control you anymore. See, he couldn't control me anymore. And it, because I got set free. Then the Lord showed me, okay, here's how you deal with that. You know, one step at a time. And in that freedom, hallelujah, that liberty, we're accepted in the Beloved, in Christ, in Him, in Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't know I was going this way tonight, so hang on. Hallelujah. All right, so we saw in Galatians 5, stand fast, he said, therefore, in that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Don't allow that bondage to come back on you. How many think it could come back on me if I started thinking the wrong way? It couldn't, because I'm totally free, because it came from the Spirit, man. You see, my freedom came from Christ. And when you come and gain the freedom from the inside out, no man can take it away from you. Nobody can take that from me. I don't care who you are. And the more we spend time with Him, the more of His freedom comes forward on the inside of us, of who we really are. That freedom to express ourselves in who God made us to be. Hallelujah. And the gifts that are on the inside of you begin to come forth like never before. And they can begin to roll like a river. And that's where we're heading. We're heading into revival. To where all that God is, everything that He is in us and to us and through us wants to come forward. But we need to stay laser focused on what He said. What has He said in your life? You know, did He call you to start that business? Hallelujah. It's a question to ask. I'm not saying He didn't. He probably, you know, and if that's what you have right now, I wouldn't change it for the moment, but I'd seek Him. He may have something better. He may have a better plan. I wouldn't just quit that right now, okay? Because you need to stay alive. And you need to, you know, we have to do the right thing and pay the bills. Say, well, do you have any bills? I don't want to answer that question. I have a lot of bills because of mistakes that I made. You know, you said, well, didn't you hear God? Well, it was kind of like when the, remember when that deal was flapping in the wind? You know, I thought something was flapping in the wind. And, you know, this time I thought it was God. And it wasn't God. And it cost me. But how many know He's faithful? Yeah. Amen. How many know 1 John 1:9 works great? You know, I remember when I did work on, you know, different jobs. I remember one particular job. Guy kept watching me, you know, and I'd made some kind of mistake. I don't know if I got mad at him or why. I don't remember exactly what happened. And I didn't know what to do. And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, just tell him. Keep watching. I said, you just keep watching because God's changing me. Changing from the inside out. There's one particular gentleman that worked there. And I knew he wasn't born again. But he'd tell me he's got an aunt that would pray for him. Oh, she prays for me all the time. She's always telling me about that Jesus. You know, of course, I talked to him about the Lord, but he definitely wasn't saved. He'd had a couple motorcycle accidents, and I mean, all kinds of things happened to him, but he couldn't die, probably because his aunt was praying for him. I remember one day I was supposed to come, and it was a Sunday, and he wanted me to water the grass that afternoon. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to water it, you know. And I guess he didn't think I'd go to church, you know, but went to church. I came home about 1 o'clock and I come back and he's there. Oh, you, man, I had to race all the way over here from clear across town. I said, well, why? I said, I set the sprinkler to go off twice while I was gone, you know, and I said, I'm here now, you know, and he's, well, that grass can burn up in just minutes. I said, yeah, it could, but it's not. You know, he says, well, you need to take this job serious. I said, I do take this job serious, but I don't want to go to hell. I said, if you want to go to hell, you can. But I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to church. So that comes first. You know, After I left there a few years later, they said he was looking for you. He wanted to tell you he gave his heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. He wanted to tell you. He's an older man. Close to, you know, probably 65. You know. Gave his heart to Jesus. Older than, you know. 65 is older than 25, okay? I didn't say old. That's just barely over middle age now. You know, so, you know, but anyway, at that time, compared to me at that time, he was an old man, okay? Dave's trying to get me in trouble. He keeps looking at me, so anyway, I won't look that way. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But God, anyway, thank you, Lord. God wants each of us to walk through, you see. No matter where we are, whatever level of freedom we're in, there's more freedom for us in Him. Until we come to that place where all things are happening. All things are not just possible, but all things are taking place. So we have to face ourselves sometimes, amen, and submit ourselves. Not just to God, not just to authority, but to God, you know. We submit ourselves to the Lord. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit to God was the first thing. And sometimes submission is not always easy. Submitting to God. It's like we'd said before, you know, when children of Israel were in Egypt, several times they were talking to Moses. And I'm telling you, if you weren't on Moses' side there, whew, it was serious. Remember Moses, he said, are you for me or against me? Those that are for me, come over here. So a bunch of them get over on his side. The rest of them, what happens there? The earth opened up and swallowed them. Now, we're not in that kind of judgment at this point because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But judgment does come to the house of God. And when the glory of God comes, judgment can flow two ways. People have died because they didn't do it God's way. You see, there is a specific way that God wants us to do things. I mean, otherwise, why would he have been so meticulous when they went into the temple? Remember Eli's sons? They thought they'd burn strange fire before God. Didn't work out so good. Not only that, God didn't even let them mourn them. His cousins and so forth had to go in. Don't mourn. No, don't even be sorry about it. Don't be sad about it. They got to go and get their bodies out or what's left. If there, you know, I'm sure there wasn't much, but they'd go and clean it up. Take them out. See, God has a way. He's got a way where we can walk into Him on purpose, but that place in Him is holy. He's a holy God, and He gave us the Holy Spirit to help purge us from our own flesh, really, to lay down the things of the flesh, to allow the lies to be laid down, to allow the fear to go, to allow our own insecurities to be released, and to allow true liberty and true freedom to come forward in Him. And I mean, you ain't been free till you get His freedom. I mean, I thought I got born again, see? I mean, I was that free. I felt so free, like I'm walking on air. And I mean, that lasted for quite a while. And the Lord, it spoke to me. He said, it was probably about 2 weeks maybe. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, just because you don't feel it doesn't mean you're not free. I said, oh, okay. And a couple days later, it just started dwindling down and just became normal. How many know that when you live in a certain place, it becomes normal to you? See, we got to be careful of that. If there's something that needs to change, you know. But when that change takes place, then that place, like Dave says, you get up over that, you know, that stronghold. Now you're up here. Then that becomes normal to you. Now you're at a different freedom. You're at a greater freedom to you It's not that Christ hadn't set you free. He has set you free, but you're walking into that freedom. That process of overcoming every stronghold that would hold you back from everything that God has called you to, and to overcome every attack. Because the enemy wants to destroy. He wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to cause you to be a total wreck and bring you to defeat. You know, and cause you to be laying out in front of all men. Oh, look at him. He tried, but he just didn't make it. He fell. But now, let's see if we'll allow the Holy Spirit, that intercession, that prayer in the Holy Ghost, to build us up above those sense-ruled realms, above what we feel, above the fear, above the lying, above the trying to gain something in the flesh. See, they were sense-ruled. They're ruling by the flesh. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, above where? Above that sensual realm where I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what the enemy tries to bring to me. But I come to win. And the Holy Ghost causes me to be a victor because he builds me up above it to where I can then even see it myself. And he says, now get that out of your life, son. Let it go. Release it to me. Allow me to bring you true freedom from the inside out, that others can see who I am. Hallelujah. And then you know who he is. And you are a testimony of who he is. He says, what? You receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, that you might be a witness. What are you going to witness to if you don't know him? You witness to who he is. And what he's done. And who he'll make you. Hallelujah. To cause you to shine. Like the sun. See, we hold forth the word of life. His word is life. But you and I are also a letter that's read of all men. And the more freedom that comes, the greater joy that you have. The greater ability to just live in this world. Because it can't control you anymore. The devil doesn't know what to do. Well, I've tried everything. There's nothing left. I'm not saying there's nothing left right now, but we're working to that place to where there's nothing left. There's nothing he can do. And if you keep praying in tongues, there's nothing he can do anyway. Because he can't stop you from pressing into all that God is. All that God has. Hallelujah. Man, I had a really good message written out up there. I'm going to preach it one day. Glory. But anyway, this one's better. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the freedom, for the liberty that you've given us. See, it's a liberty not to be left in bondage, not to go back and be bound or to do whatever we want. But it's a freedom and a liberty to say, yes, Father, I submit to you. I decide I'm going to obey you. And that's where real freedom comes. That's where true freedom comes. I'm going to pray, Lord, and I'm going to seek you. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to know that you're faithful. I'm going to come to know you. We were singing about that tonight. We could know him. Be wrapped in his arms. Be brought before the living God. The God that created heaven and earth. He's big. He's awesome. He's all powerful. To know his very heart. To know his very life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Well, there's a freedom. Amen. Hallelujah, in Christ. And there's an acceptance that he brings. Hallelujah. There's a knowing of who you are in him. I recommend all the scriptures that Gary prints out on his website, garycarpenter.org. It says the in Christ scriptures. Get them, print them off, say them to yourself. Those are the very scriptures that begin to change my life. I didn't have all of them, but I took a few of them. and continue to say those over and over because I didn't feel accepted. Anybody ever go to church? You don't feel like anybody loves me. Nobody. You know what? I think they're all talking about me. You know, that's the devil. They're not all talking about you. Now, I didn't maybe, you know, maybe you don't think that, but you just, you know, the feelings. Feelings have to be turned. Hallelujah. How are they turned? We know as we worship Him, as we take His word and worship Him. There's a prophecy not to, well, talk about taking His word as precious, as important. The words He speaks to us, but and also His written word and speaking it back to Him. How God, He says, I love it. Why? Because the Bible says His word is full of power, able to discern between what is of your spirit, what is of your soul, and even to the joints and marrow. In other words, what is of the flesh? Well, I'm not sure if this is right or not. Well, get the word of God out. Find it in the word of God. Find you some scripture. You know, and don't just say, well, I'm going to match this one up with this one, you know, but take it as a context. Continue to read that book over and over. What book are you reading now? Do you have one that you're reading now? I'm just asking. I mean, I'm not telling, don't have to answer, but I'm just saying, what book are you reading now? What book of the Bible are you reading 50 times? We need to get laser focused. I'm reading Romans right now. I got through 25 times, but I'm going to get the rest of it. Hallelujah. I'm getting there. I've gotten through it before, you know, but, you know, I'm not saying you have to read it 50 times, but it'd be good. 30 to 50 times, whatever. Some of the larger books, 30 times, we'll let you slide. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But, you know, if you don't know where to start, I suggest start with a small one. Go to 1 John and read it 50 times. Pray in the Spirit while you're reading if you can. If you can't, then just read it until you get 50 times. Don't try and get anything out of it, but continue to meditate on it. Let it get a part of you. Let it become a part of you. Become real on the inside of you. Because that Word will change you. The Word of God is what's going to change us. See, I had to do all that, but see, I'm learning with the Word of God. All my examples is with the Word of God. I'm accepting the blood. Maybe I know that truth on the inside of me, but it's not a reality in my life. And God walked me through some things to help me see it. So where even I can say, no, that's not me. Ah, thank you, Lord. I walk into a new freedom. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. But the Word of God can become so alive on the inside of us and so much more real than what we see. Hallelujah. To where that's where we live. And then that's what becomes a reality. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. That's why we're here every Sunday night and every Tuesday night speaking the Word of God over Tulsa. Tulsa's saved. It's in revival. So what are you doing? You're trying to believe? No, we're declaring what we know is. See, when you declare and agree with God, then it becomes a reality. Because your words carry power, especially when it's about you. You can reign in your life. You can change whatever situation you're in. I'm just so depressed. Well, get some joy scriptures out. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul said, and again I say rejoice. I choose to joy today, Lord. I choose it. I don't feel joy. I choose joy. I don't feel accepted, Father, but I am accepted by you. And that'll become a reality from the inside out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, glory. Jesus only said those things he heard his Father say. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to be the same way, Father. Say only those things and do those things that we hear our Father do and say. And as we submit ourselves to him, each day, every day, he said daily, taking up our cross and following after him. What does that mean? It means what he says, that's what I do. And if he sent you to the prayer center or you're connected with the prayer center, then you know this message, right? Praying in the Spirit. You know, meditating the Word of God. Fasting. You know, speaking that Word. Confession of the Word of God. Causing it to become alive on the inside of you. To where it can't help but come to pass. You know, the Bible says what? The angels hearken to the voice of his word. Want to get your angels working? How many think if you got some help, it'd work even faster, right? You'd think. Amen. At least they'll get working with you. Glory to God. When we're speaking doubt and unbelief, oh, woe is me. Even God doesn't come to a pity party. Nobody comes. It's just you and the devil. Well, he does come, you know. And then if you stay in it long enough, then he'll try to tell you, you know, you're just useless and may as well fall off the earth, basically. I won't say the others. But he does try to drive people insane. He'll drive you just like he's driven other people. Try to kill yourself because he can't kill you. Don't think he can. The devil doesn't have that much power over you. He can't take your life. You have to give it to him. And he tries to make you do it. Or get somebody else to do it. Hallelujah. But we got a Father that loves us. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. We got a Father that loves us. And he wants to take us from where we are into all that he has for us. Into that place of freedom. That place of liberty where we're not in any bondage. And those bondages cannot keep us from walking in all that he's called us into. Where you can have miracles, signs, and wonders follow you because you know who you are. And you know who he is. When you know who he is and you realize who you are in him, the Father in you, you in him, working together, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's let him take us into those freedoms. Amen. Lay aside the weights. Let's be laser focused. And let's allow that liberty that he gave us to come forward. Amen. The true liberty. To submit to him. To pray. To seek him. To know him. To obey him. To walk with him. I want to walk with him. Amen. We want more of him. In the sense that we're saying we want more of him, I mean, he's here. All of him is available. It's up to us to choose him. How much are we going to surrender? Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we can submit to you. We can resist the enemy in our life, Father, and the strongholds that he's tried to place there, Father, we can overcome. We can walk out of anything that the enemy's tried to keep us in, any bondage, Father, that we are free. Lord, we are truly free in you, Lord. We want to walk in that liberty, Lord, and surrender to you, Father. In every area of our life, Father, we want to belong to you. We want to be laser focused, Father. We want to walk with you. We want all that you desire, Father, so that we can be a light and a testimony to the world, Father, to bring them to you, Lord. We can obey you, hear your voice, walk with you, Lord. Allow your word to be life on the inside of us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. You are dismissed if you came for prayer tonight. You want prayer for anything? You can come to the green line. We'll pray for you.